Begin the Karan Daf Masechet Sukkah, Daf Yud Tes. Begin 7 lines down from the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues the discussion from the previous Daf, as the Gemara will explain. The Gemara begins, Besura Masni Lahosh Maita. In Sura, in that location, they learned the previous Sugya that we had been discussing up until now, in the previous Daf, this Machlek is between Abai and Rava. As we explained, they were discussing specifically a case just like the Mishnah, the previous Mishnah, which was a case when, in those days, the Chatzar, was a communal courtyard, which was surrounded on three sides by batim. That's the case specifically of the Mishnah. Now, in front of the houses, which was like a ches, they had porches in front, which was roofed but was open. Now, the problem is, if you're going to cover the entire chatzar with schach, there's a separation from the walls of the homes, which is what's surrounding the chatzar, which is what's now the sukkah and sukkahs. That is the roof of the porch, which is more than dalet amos, which is puzzle because of tasav lehem and asli to be used as schach for the sukkah. So therefore, there's more than a separation of 4 amos between the schach and the walls. So therefore, how does the sukkah have walls if they're separated? So that there was a machlekes between a rabbi and rava if it's going to be kosher or not. They both agreed in this first version and how they learned it in Surah that if there are pitzimin less than three tefachim from each other, which are these posts, which is by the end of the porch, which is basically what's then touching the area of the sukkah, if they're less than three tefachim from each other, you say love it, so it's almost like they're closed, like it is a wall that's enclosing the sukkah, which enclosing the area of the chatzar. So there, Abai and Rava both agreed that there the sukkah would be kosher. The machlekes was regarding when there are no petzimin, and hence again, all you have are the walls of the homes. Now we had a machlekes if it's going to be kosher or not. Now the reason why the one who said it's going to be kosher is, how could it be kosher? L'chari, the case of our Mishnah says explicitly there, since it's more than Dalet Amos, you can't say Defan Akum, it's going to be possible. The reason it's kosher is because we'll say Pi Tikkur Yard V'Saisim, which means that the edge of the roof, although it's horizontal, there is some vertical at the edge, which is that little bit of the thickness of the roof, which is essentially the beginning of a wall. And that will say, we'll see those walls as if they're coming down, although they're just very minute, but that's the p'tikr, the opening of the roof, will say that it's good aches, we'll see it's coming down, and there, that's what's enclosing with these virtual walls, the sukkah, and that's what it's going to be kosher. The other mandama said not. That was the version that we said in the previous stuff, which was Baha'i Lishna, which was in the way we just explained it now. However, in Pumbedisa, the other big yeshiva in Bavel, they learned it as follows. Regarding a case, if somebody puts schach over the roofs of the porches, which don't have posts, which you're going from across in the width of this chatzar, which has surrounded on three sides by the homes with the porches in front, so you're taking the schach, putting it on one porch across to the other porch, covering the area of the chatzar that way. So if there are no posts, divrei hakol psula. According to this version, which in the first version was where the machlokes was, this version says that everyone would agree that it's going to be posul. And the reason is, because since the roof of the porch is not made for the outside of it, it's made to encase and enclose what's underneath it, what's inside the porch, not for the airspace out of it, so you can't say that it's opening the thickness of the roof of the porch, that its thickness should be walls for the outside. It could be walls for what's inside. Halachically, you can make these good achas walls, the pitik are coming down, and it'll be a virtual wall, but it'll be a virtual wall only for what's inside the porch, not for what's outside of it. And therefore, in that case, although maybe you could say pitikra, it won't work for what's outside of it, which is for the chatzah, and therefore that's going to be a pasul sukkah according to everybody. Yesh lo betzimin, but if there are posts that are less than three tefachim away from each other, which essentially make it like windows, that if you're coming on the porch, you have these posts less than three tefachim away from each other, which halachically, based on love, will close off the entire area and make these new walls, which in the first version, everyone would agree would be kosher sukkah. In the second version, that of Pumbedisa, actually that's where the machlekes is. Abaya ama kasher, Abaya says it's going to be kosher. Rav ama psula, Rav says it's possible. So again, basically the second version is more chamer than the first version, whereas in the first version, everyone agreed that if there's petzimin, less than three tefachim away from each other, it's going to be kosher, and the whole machlekes was when there are no petzimin. This version says actually everyone will agree that if there's no petzimin, it's going to be pasul. The whole machlekes was when there are petzimin, if we say love it or not. And that is Abayah, my kasher, he says it's kosher because of me and love it. You say love it. Now, the logic, according to Abayah of love it is, that although you're right, that the same theory we're saying for the halacha of Pitikra, that the petzimin are made to encase, to enclose the porch area. Not, it wasn't made for the intention of the outer area of the chatzar. However, ultimately, loved is a wall. It says that whatever's within three tefachim of the other, we see it as if it's closed, because that's the halacha of loved. Now, therefore, once it's a wall, I don't care which way the wall is made. There's still a wall. Hence, it's going to be a kasher sukkah in the chatzar, as if there was a real wall, the same halacha would apply. However, Rav Amar Pasuli says it's going to be possible in this case of even when you say loved. Because lo yamrin loved, we will not say loved. Now, what does it mean we won't say loved? If it's less than three tefachim away from each other, we do say loved. It's just that Rav understands the lumdus of loved is that loved doesn't say we're creating a real wall. Loved is still, ultimately, there's no wall. I could put my hands through that. It's a halacha l'mashem Sinai that teaches us that we should consider it a wall. Now, the halacha l'mashem Sinai was only said for the ear space that's inside, but not to say that it'll be in either direction. Hence, since it was made, just like we said, for the pitikra, for the what's inside the area of the porch, it wasn't made, these pitzimin, for what's outside of it. Therefore, the halacha l'mashem Sinai of this virtual wall of love, it is the same as the virtual wall of pitikra yad v'saisim. And just like he would tell Abai, you agree over there, that we would say that pitikra yad v'saisim is only for what's inside of it, so to the halacha of love, it would only be for what's inside of it. Hence, it's not like just like an ultimate wall, which would help for the outside, and even there would be puzzle. However, the Gemara concludes, after it says these two versions of the Machlekes and Bayin Rava, the Hilchasa Kalishna Kama. Halacha follows the first version, that of Surah, which we discussed in the previous daf, like the opinion of Rava, and not like this Lishna Basra, where the halacha is going to be that loved, when you have these pitzim and these posts, we will say, even for the airspace outside of it, meaning it would be a kosher sukkah in the chatzar, but regarding the halacha, p'tikr, yared v'saisim, that we wouldn't say from what's without, only from what's within, and therefore in such a case, when there are no p'tzimin, it would be possible, and we wouldn't say p'tikr, yared v'saisim, to say what's inside the chatzar would be kosher. Now the Gemara brings a story regarding this halacha that Rav Ashi ashkech al Rav Kahana. Rav Ashi encountered Rav Kahana. He was making a sukkah on top of porches, meaning going across from one porch to the other porch, across the width of the chatzar, that did not have posts. Now, the way specifically that this was built, the construction, was that he had two kosher walls, which was on the south and on the east. Now, the third one, which was where the third wall should have been, was close to where the achsadra was, where the porch was with its overhanging roof. And there he didn't make a third wall of a tefach, which is what the chachamim require. Now, so therefore, Amalei, so Rav Ashi said to Rav Kahana, Leisavimar hada Amar Rava, don't you hold up what Rava said, which we just quoted in our Gemara, that yesh la pitzimin ksheira, if there are posts, again, because the halacha is like the first version of Rava, that if there is posts, then it's going to be kasher based on the halacha of Lavid. But if there are no posts, it's going to be puzzle. We don't pass in like a baya of the first version. There's no post. We won't say p'tikr yad v'saisim. How are you making a sukkah with not having any p'tzimin and going across from one to the other when, again, there's no halachic walls over here? You have two walls, but what's with the third wall? The third wall was based on the achsadra, but we can't rely on neither the wall of the house, which is adjoining that porch, because one in Dalar Amis, and you can't use either the overhang of the porch, because there we don't say p'tikr yad v'saisim, as we said, because it was only made for the ear space of within, not from without. So Rav Kahana essentially agreed to that. He says, yeah, I agree that you cannot use the porch, the overhang, its roof, as the third wall by saying good aches, but achvile, he showed him that actually there was patzim, there were posts, that had at least a thickness of a tefach and more, which was near the area of the sukkah, of the achsadra, which went a little bit behind the area of the sukkah, where one in the sukkah wasn't able to see it. It was only for someone inside the achsadra that was able to see that there was a third wall adjoining the sukkah, as the Gemara explains that. What the case was actually was nirim mibifnim, v'shavim mibachutz. In other words, and some Gemaras have the picture, that for someone in the achsadra, someone that's, let's say, on the porch, it's visible to the one inside, but it's equal to the one outside, which in this case would be, if from the vantage point of the one in the sukkah, he'd be on the chutz. In the sukkah, you don't see a third wall, but there is a third wall going parallel to the other second wall, which when you have, there's different walls in different directions, but that would be the third wall. Or inami, another way of viewing this is, nirim mibachutz, v'shavim mebifnim, from the one, from the vantage point of the one in the sukkah, it's only visible to the one outside the sukkah, which again is the one in the achsadra, but it's equal to the one on the inside. So therefore, if we're talking about that, if let's say there's a wall on the north and there's a wall on the east, so then we would have on the south there'd be a wall too. However, you wouldn't see it if you're in the sukkah. It'd be drawn towards the east, not towards west, which would then you would be able to see it from the sukkah. Now, if it's such a case, that is for the one who is in the inside, since he can't see it, it's only visible for the one that are outside in Achsadra, who they don't see the ear space, whoever would be on the porch and be able to see that, he wouldn't be seeing the ear space of the sukkah. He only sees the beginning of this wall, which is the third wall. Actually, the Gemara says, Di'idma, that we learned that this will be a kosher wall, as we learned regarding halachas of Mavoi, which a Mavoi is it's somewhere between a Rishus HaYachid and a Rishus HaRam, although halachically, biblically, it's a Rishus HaYachid. However, since it has, as the construction of those cities were, which you had homes opened into courtyards then joined into mavois then joined and opened up into the Rishus HaRam, where the halacha is that you have to say some type of a sign, a separation, differentiate between the mavoi and the rest of the Rishus HaRam, which, since the mavoi is joined with Shetufa Mavois, you have to have a lechi. Now, if that lechi was placed equal to the wall, a lechi is a stick, a post, by the entryway of the mavoi, which is to illustrate that this is separate from the Rishus HaRabim. If the thickness of the lechi is aligned with the wall from within, that is, from within, if you're looking at the mavoi facing Rishus HaRabim, you don't see anything sticking into the airspace of the opening. However, near Mibachutz, but if it's visible from the outside, and that is, it sticks out on the one in the Rishus HaRabim, whether on the side or whether in the thickness, in other words, someone standing on the outside can tell there's a discrepancy, that let's say the wall is an amma thick, and the lechi is, let's say, a tefach. So you can see that that's not the same thickness as the wall. You can tell that that's a lechi if you're standing on the outside. But if in the inside, since it's flush with the wall on the inside, you can't tell. It just looks like an extension of the wall. You can't tell that there's a lechi. On that, the halacha is that if it's visible from the outside, b'shavim b'fnim, and even though it looks flush from the inside, nidun mishim lechi has halacha as a lechi. And therefore, what the Gemara is saying is, and this was what Rav Kahana was responding to Rav Ashi here also, by these patsim, which are, although it's drawn towards the achsadra, it will also have a halacha as a wall. V'hainu pitzima, and that was exactly what this post was, what Rav Kahana was showing to Rav Ashi. That's why the sukkah is going to be kosher, because although when you're in the sukkah, you look like you have only two walls, because actually the third wall is going to be drawn towards, it's almost going to be like a Z, like a zigzag, and you're not going to be able to see that wall. However, since it does reach by the end, so by the outside, it's nearer that there's another wall, although from the inside it's not nearer, that will have, at least since the thickness of that wall will be a tefach, it's viewed as if it's a third wall, and for the third wall all you need to have is a tefach. That's why it's kosher. So essentially, Rav Kahana was responding, I agree to the halacha of Rava, that because I wasn't saying this is kosher because of the achsadra, that doesn't work. It has to have at least patsimen. But there is a patsimen, although it's not visible from the inside, it's visible from the outside. And as we see by the halachas of Erevin, by a lechi, that if it's visible on the outside, we'll say that it will be valid, even though from the inside it can't be seen. And since from the outside you can see that there's a third wall, this will be a kosher sukkah, and that's why I made such a type of sukkah. Now the Gemara continues on this sugya. Tana, we learn the braisa. Psal hayoytze min hasukkah nidun kesukkah. Psal is always a term that you use for kosher schach, because the schach has to be psalis goyim v'yakev, has to be the refuse of what was by the threshing house and what by the wine vats, which are things that are growing from the ground and are not mekabel tumah. So if you have psal, kosher schach, coming out of the sukkah, it has the same halachic status as the sukkah itself. So the Gemara asks, my psal hayoytze min sukkah, what is this case of the braisa that's saying this enigmatic statement of when you have schach coming out of the sukkah, it's going to be kosher. So the Gemara has four interpretations of what the braisa means to say a chiddush that's going to be kosher. Amar Ula, the first interpretation, he says, konim hayoytzim lachar sukkah. What we're talking about is schach, bamboo sticks, that is reeds that are coming out from behind the sukkah. In other words, behind the middle wall, which is behind the sukkah. Such a case, although it's not part of the sukkah, it's actually coming behind the sukkah, that will also be considered as part of the sukkah. So the Gemara asks, but But how could that be kosher? We know halachically for a sukkah it has to have three walls. Now all you have is one wall, which is the back wall. Now the schach is coming out behind. How does that make a kosher sukkah? So the Gemara Bedik, the Braise talking about that behind the sukkah, actually there are side walls that extend too. So you have three walls. But the Gemara is about being the hechsher sukkah. But you still need to have the proper dimensions of a sukkah, which are seven tvachim. Now, as Rashi explains, obviously what we're saying is that this sukkah, that what's behind the sukkah is considered by its own and it's separated from what's within that middle wall. And therefore, where do you have the hechsher sukkah? Even if you have the back wall and you have side walls extending, but you don't necessarily have the measurements of what's within, even though you have three walls. So the Gemara's Bedeka, it's talking about that the side walls extend and you have an area of seven tvachim. But the Gemara still asks, but there's other criteria for the halacha of a sukkah. But you have to have more shade from the schach than sunlight. So the Gemara answers, Bedeka, you have that too. So then the Gemara asks, then why do we have to say this? What is the chiddush of this case? So what? So you have back-to-back connected sukkahs? That's essentially what it is. Who cares that it's behind that inner sukkah? You're taking that wall and you're building another sukkah. You could build townhouses with sukkahs. What's the big deal? They're all going to have all the halachic criteria of a sukkah. That the Gemara answers, I would have thought to say that no, it wouldn't be kosher. And this is where it's similar to the sugya before, where we were saying that when something is made, it's made for its distinct area. You can't then utilize it for something else that it wasn't made for. So here also I would think to say that back wall was made for the inner sukkah. The Lavroi Lo Avidi wasn't made for the outer sukkah. This middle wall, Emaloi, I would think to say that then that wouldn't be a kosher sukkah because it wasn't made for the outer sukkah. And Rashi even takes it a step further. Even those side walls, originally, they were made for the inner sukkah. The only way you ended up with those side walls was because the guy pushed the middle wall inwards that made the inner sukkah smaller. Now he was left over. He didn't want to share that with someone else. So he said, you know what? We already have the sukkah. I'll just push up the middle wall. Then you'll be left with a kosher sukkah on the outside. Again, now it comes out that neither wall was made for the outer sukkah. So I would think to say that wouldn't be considered halachic walls to consider that it's for the inner area, for this outer area when it's really for the inner area. Kamash Shulon, that's the chiddush of saying that psal ha-yitzim in the sukkah, if it's coming out behind the sukkah, if you have all the halachic criteria, even though the walls are made for the inside, still they're walls and walls will work. It's different than the case we were saying with virtual walls, halachic of lavud, or for sure in the case of Pitikra, here where it was made for, it's the walls, it doesn't make a difference, that was made for the inner one, it will be kosher even for the outer sukkah. That's the interpretation of Ula. Rabbi Rav Yosef Amitavai, they both say a second interpretation. They say, Hacha bekanam hayoitzim lefnim in a sukkah. What we're talking about is reeds that are going out in front of the sukkah, which means to say toward the fourth side, which is open and there is no wall over there, and it continues going further than where the walls are. Which umashcha v'az lechad adoivin. However, there is one wall that continues going from one of the side walls, bahadayu with it. Now, ma'adutema, I would have thought to say that since the second wall that's on the other side does not continue, therefore, it's pretty obvious that this is its own area. It's not part of the original sukkah because really the second wall would have gone along with it, just like the wall on the other side of it. So, halles beis. So, therefore, I would say then that it doesn't have seven tvachim. In other words, it doesn't have hechsher sukkah. It doesn't have the requisite halachas, dimensions of a sukkah because we don't view it as part of the old sukkah. We view it as something else that's extending because that's why only one wall is coming out. But if it was part of the original sukkah, it would have both walls coming out. Hence, I should say it's not a kosher part of the sukkah. Kamash Shulon, that's the chiddush that it is considered part of the sukkah. And as Rashi explains, essentially, it's no worse than the halacha al-Mashim Sina that for the walls of the sukkah, you really only need to have two walls and a tefach, which there the other wall does not continue more than a tefach. And even though one wall is going out, it still will be kosher. Here also, this psal that's coming out, even though now you have three full-fledged walls, but now that one of those side walls that continues going out, we'll be considering it as it's part of the sukkah, and therefore that's going to be kosher. Rabbi Bechana Amar Rabbi Yechanan, a third interpretation of what does this mean, psal ha-yoitzim in the sukkah, says, Loi nitzucha, we only needed this halacha, el sukkah she ruba tzilasim ruba chamasa, that the majority of the schach are what's necessary for the schach to be kosher, that it has more shade than sunlight. But in miyuta, but a minority of the schach, meaning part of the schach, has chamas and rubim tzlasa, has more sunlight coming through that part than the shade. Now, ma'adu tema, what's the chiddush of the brisa? I would have thought to say, tifsel b'hach porta, it should be invalid in that little amount because every part of schach has to have more shade than sunlight. If part of it has more sunlight, then that's pasul. Kamash Malon, that's the chiddush in saying that no, we go after the majority of the entirety of the schach. Since if you take that sum total and you're going to have more shade than sunlight, even though parts will have more sunlight than shade, that's going to be kasher schach throughout the sukkah. And how does that fit into the terms of what the Bryce has said of that it's psal hayitzim in the sukkah? What is this? How does it have to do with having part of it chamsam ruben salasa? It means yitzim mehechsher sukkah. It means to say that if you have psal, which means schach, that was went out of the validity of the halachas of sukkah, which means to say that it wasn't covered properly with those halachas because it was chamsam ruben salasa. That's the chiddush kamash malan that still is going to be kasher because we go after the sum total. Rabbi Yishai has a fourth interpretation. He says, "Lo nitzucha el leschach pasul pachis mishleisha besukkah ktana." He says that this halacha was only necessary to say this psal hayitzim in the sukkah was talking about when you have non-kosher schach in an area of less than three tefachim in a sukkah ktana, which means to say that it's the smallest it could be, which is seven tefachim. Which the chiddush is that although the entirety, the smallest amount of kosher schach you have to have is seven tefachim, and now you're not having seven tefachim of kosher schach because let's say two tefachim of it is non kosher schach, but since it's less than three tefachim, we'll view that as if it's closed off, like the halacha of lavid, that we don't view it as if it's even there, and therefore the entire sukkah would be considered as if it's kosher schach, and that's the chiddush of that we're saying in this halacha. So the Gemara says, "Umay Yetzi," how does that fit into the words of the Tanna the Braisa that it's psal hayitzim in a sukkah? What does it mean that it's kosher schach that's yitzim from the sukkah? It means yitzim mitur sukkah. We have schach that here the term is different than the previous interpretation of Rabbi Bachana and Rabbi Yechanan, that there it says yitzim hechsher sukkah because it wasn't done with proper validity of tzalasim and b'chamasa. Here it's actually yitzim mitur sukkah. It's not even the proper type because it's, let's say, metal spits. And that the chiddush is that even though it's not even kosher schach, we will consider it kosher, even though it's not kosher because it's less than three tefachim. Hence, we view it as if it's all closed off with kosher schach. Now, Maskel Reisha asks on this final interpretation of Rabbi Yishai. He says, "What is the chiddush according to Rabbi Yishai that the Tanna the Braisa is teaching us? Lo yehei ela aver. It shouldn't be any worse than airspace, where therefore it's obvious that non kosher schach would for sure be kosher." Because v'yaver, if we find by ear space, when there's nothing there, just ear, which is more stringent though, there's halachas, as we find that schach pasul is only a problem with four tefachim, or maybe even four amis, but schach pasul is, it will invalidate even with a space of three tefachim. And yet still pachas mishlesh tefachim besukkah ketana mi pasul, do we find that by having ear space less than three tefachim, by a small sukkah, the smallest it could be of seven tefachim, will it invalidate? It doesn't invalidate in that measurement of less than three tefachim. So what's the chiddush in schach pasul if it's not going to be any worse than airspace, which is mochamer, and airspace we know less than three tefachim, it won't invalidate the sukkah. So Amalei Rabbi says to resolve Rabbi Yishai's teretz that the chiddush of the brayso when it says that it will have halacha as nidin kesukkah, the Tana was teaching us that zemid starif v'yishenim tachta. The chiddush of schach pasul, why we had to say it, even though of course we knew that the sukkah would be kosher, that in other words, that it doesn't invalidate the sukkah, because if airspace doesn't, for sure schach pasul. But the chiddush is that not only does it combine to make the requisite shear of seven tefachim, even though it's pasul because it's less than three tefachim, just like we say love it by airspace, but moreover, you could even sleep underneath that part of the sukkah. Bezeh, however, regarding airspace, where although it's mitztarif, although when it's less than three tefachim, it will combine to make the requisite share of the sukkah, but ve'en yishenim tachtav. But airspace, you cannot sleep underneath, and that's where we have to say specific halacha by schach pasul, where although, obviously, again, it's a kolshken that's not going to invalidate the sukkah from aver, but we still have to say that you can even sleep underneath it, which does not apply by airspace. Now, the Gemara asks, is that possible? That you're telling me airspace is something that will combine, but in the kosher, but you're saying that it won't be valid to be able to sleep underneath it. Now, how does that make sense? If you're saying that it's combining, so therefore we see seven tefachim of schach kosher, although there is not seven tefachim of schach kosher, it might be five, but two tefachim of it is ear space, but we say, oh, love it, it's closed, we have no problem, we really see seven tefachim, but then you can't sleep underneath it. How is that? Isn't that paradoxical in the sense of that you're seeing a schach kosher, but yet you're saying you can't sleep underneath it, which schach pasul, you say you could, because we see it as all one big thing. But airspace, you can't. And that's where you have to say Yitzchak possible. How is that possible? So Adam Rabbi Yitzchak ben El Yashav in, yes, it is true, we find such a corollary that you can have something that will combine for something else, but ultimately it itself cannot be used in its own sense because it's not able to be used in that function. As the Gemara says, as we continue on to Amud Beis, as we find, Tit Hanorik Yichiach. Mud that could be poured proves that, in other words, this is type of mud that it's liquidy that you could pour it from one vessel to another one. That will prove where we find Shem Itztarif, where it combines to complete the measurement. La'arbam saw 40 sot to make a mikvah kasher, which has to have that measurement of water. Now, although it will combine to make that shear of a mikvah, but v'hatayva boy, if someone immerses himself in 40 sah, which is totally made out of this titanuric, this pourable mud, lo yosle tefillah, his tefillah does not work. And that is as we find the Mishnah Masechtas Mikvayis in the 7th parak, which says, Elu ma'ilam aloi paisan. These are things that will elevate, will make a kasher the mikvah, but it will not invalidate, which is snow and sleet and ice and salt and this titanuric, this pourable mud, which, as Rashi explains, that term of malin means to say that it will complete, but it itself is not appropriate to make a mikvah out of it. And therefore, we have the same thing for this sukkah. Although, by schach pasel, it will complete, and that's where you have to say, separate halacha, you could even sleep underneath it. But ear space will not be like that, although, yes, less than 3 tefachim, it will not invalidate the sukkah, it will be kosher, and it will even complement and complete the sukkah, and say that we see 7 tefachim of kosher schach. However, in its own right, as to function in that, you cannot sleep underneath the ear space, just like by the titanarik, although it will complete the mikvah for 40 saw, you cannot immerse yourself in the titanarik as if when it would be made totally out of titanarik, and therefore that's why we have to say the separate case, according to Rabbi Ishia, of psal ha-yitzim and the sukkah, which means to say that it went out totally of the halacha of a proper usage, a proper min of schach kasher, let's say metal spits, because although you would know it from kelshikin, from aver, that it won't be paisal, but we have to tell you it could even sleep underneath that pot, which is not the case by aver. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, again continuing on the similar theme of the previous Mishnah, which is the joining of where the walls join with the schach. Previously we spoke about that regarding the gaps that there are. Now the Mishnah continues and says, Ha'isah sukkasa kemin tzrif. If someone makes his sukkah like a hut, specifically the huts of the trappers, where they would trap the different birds, and it was made in the shape of like a beehive, where it would be like a cone that the roof and the walls are one. You don't see a demarcation of vertical and horizontal. It's one. It just keeps on moving in that angle of a cone. Or let's say he made a sukkah where the edges of the bamboo sticks or the reeds are leaning on the wall, and one edge is leaning on the ground. So it's basically like an angle. That is one flat wall that's going to be on a diagonal, both the wall and the roof. So now Rabbi Eliezer Paisel, Mimneshein Lagag, he says that type of sukkah would be invalid because there is no roof. Now, what it means is no roof. It means it's not recognizable what's the roof and what's the wall, because that's what's called in halachic terminology, Oihel Meshupa. It's a slanty roof, which a slanty tent, which is not a tent. You have to have at least a tefach of either vertical or horizontal to be able to differentiate between what is the roof and what is the wall. If it's all one, that's not going to be kosher. Again, similar to the previous Mishnah, the talking about the relationship of the walls and the schach. Now, however, the Chama say such a sukkah will be kosher, as the Gemara will explain in Machlekes. Now, Tana, within the Brisa, qualifies Rebbe Lez's opinion on this. The Brisa brings that Moedir Rebbe Lez agrees. Now, this first agreeing, there's two different cases that they argue about. One is when it's made like a cone, like a tzrif. And the other one is when it's just one board that leans against the wall, which then you have like a triangle because you have the wall and you have the floor, and then you have this one thing of schach, let's say a mat of bamboo sticks, just like going diagonal over there. So regarding the first two cases, Rebbe Eliezer agrees, shemigbiya min hakarka tefach, that if it was elevated from the ground a tefach, in other words, this mat, or this cone was elevated at least a tefach from the ground. Let's say it's on pegs, where now you're going to have a tefach of vertical space, where now it's recognizable that this tzrif is a roof for that space. Now, since you have at least a measurement of a vertical oil, so that's an oil. Because now, essentially, the rest is the roof, even though it's a cone or it's on an angle, but you're covering a vertical space, which is closed off with the halacha of lavit, so it's closed off, but it's being encased by a roof. We don't care that it's coming in different directions. One's going in a cone, or one's going on the diagonal, but still, it's an oil. It just, the problem we had in the Mishnah was because it wasn't recognizable what's the wall and what's the roof. Here we're saying all of it is a roof, because you already have an oil, which is the minimum necessary to be considered for the walls of a tefach, because it has these virtual walls closing it off since it's less than 3 tefachim. Or, and this is going only on the second case of when you have that, let's say that those reeds which are diagonal, shefligim in a kaisel tefach, if it was distance, the edge which is leaning on the wall, if it was distance from the wall, at least a tefach, which let's say it's leaning on pegs, then we say lavud from the schach, which is this wall slash roof, to the wall, you say lavud that will be horizontal. We don't say lavud as if it's continuing on that diagonal. Hence, you have a roof of a tefach, shikshera, where based on these two different cases, Reb Lezer would agree that there would be kasha. The only problem is if you don't have an oil, which is either you don't see a roof or you don't see distinct a wall, but if you're distancing, let's say a tefach from the ground or a tefach on the wall, either way, you're going to either be having that now this object will be either the wall or it's going to be the roof. Either way, if you distance the tefach from the ground, then that's going to be the wall, that's going to be the oil, and now that slanty mat will be the roof. If you're going to have it distance, let's say just the second case of the mat, which is leaning against the wall, you distance it a tefach, let's say on pegs from the wall, now that tefach will be a tefach of an oil, and now that the slanty mat will be the walls, and then again, either way, you'll be having either the roof or the wall, and then that's going to be kosher because it has to be distinct what's the wall and what's the roof. Now that we qualified Reb Elazar's statement, the Gemara asks, "My tamai Rabbanan, what's the reason of the Rabbanan and the Mishnah that they say that even when you don't have it separated, a tefach, it's going to be kosher, even though it's totally slanty and it's the wall and the roof coming as one? They hold that a slanty wall, a slanty tent, will be considered a tent even though you don't make it elevated or distance it a tefach from the floor or the wall, it's still going to be kosher. They hold that's a kosher oil. Now, related to this machlokes, the Gemara brings the following story. Abaya ashkechil Rav Yosef. Abaya encountered Rav Yosef to kogani bekilas chasan besukkah, that he was sleeping in a bridal canopy in a sukkah. Now, because that type of canopy didn't have a roof that's a tefach that was complete horizontal. It was just, it would meet on the edge. It would meet in the corner. Therefore, he didn't consider it as an oil, because an oil has to have at least an oil of a tefach, and it doesn't have that because it just reaches on the corner, on the edge. And therefore, he didn't consider it an oil to separate between him and the sukkah, which is the oil on top of him. Now, Amalei, but Abaye told Rabbi Yosef, come on, who are you following when you're sleeping in this bridal canopy? Rabbi Eliezer, are you like Rabbi Eliezer? Because he said that an oil meshuppah, a slanty oil, which is what you have, basically the bridal canopy was like a triangle, that's not an oil. But shavkes rabbanon va'avdis k'Rabbi Eliezer, are you leaving the opinion of the majority, which are the rabbanon, and you're going like Rabbi Eliezer? Because rabbanon, as obviously from our Mishnah, they hold oil meshuppah is an oil, which, although for the case of our Mishnah was to say that such a sukkah would be kosher, but in this case it would actually be a problem because you're sleeping in an oil, which although it's meshuppah is oil, in the sukkah, so you're not in the sukkah, you're in some other oil which is separating. So how can you follow Rabbi Eliezer, not like the rabbanon? So Amaleis, Rabbi Yosef told Abaya, Braisa Ibchotani. In the Braisa, it was learned exactly the opposite. In other words, I have a Braisa that says that their opinions were reversed. Where the Braisa says, Rabbi Eliezer says that an oil meshuppah is an oil, hence a sukkah made like that will be kasher. V'chacham poisim, however, Chacham says it's going to be pasul because it doesn't have a roof, and therefore my kilas chasanim, since it doesn't have a roof, it's just slanty, will not be considered an oil to separate between me and the sukkah. Then Abaye continued asking Rabbi Yosef, Shavkis masnitin vavdis kebraisa. So you left the version of our Mishnah to do like the version of the machlekes in the braisa. We know that Mishnah is always primary. We always follow that over a braisa. So Malis Rabbi Yosef responded to him, masnitin yichidoihi. You're right. Generally, we follow a Mishnah, but our Mishnah is following the opinion of an individual, which is Reb Nosson, versus the Chacham of Reb Nosson's generation, argued on him and said, like the opinion that mentioned the Brisa, that is Reb Eliezer that said that the case of our Mishnah was kosher, essentially saying oil Meshuppah is oil. And the Chacham was saying it's possible because they say oil Meshuppah is not an oil. The Tanakh like learned the Brisa. If someone makes a sukkah like a hut, or conical, a hut like those trappers, which is like a cone, or he leaned the sticks on the wall, which is diagonal. Reb Nosson says, who's a yachid, then Reb Eliezer Paisel, it's Reb Eliezer who says that's possible, like our Mishnah. The Chacham says it's kosher, however, that's a das yachid. The Chachamim argued on him, and that's the opinion mentioned in the Brisa, and that's why I followed that opinion of the Machlekes, which is like the Chachamim, who they say, oil Meshuppah is not an oil, hence they hold that a sukkah made like that would be puzzle. Therefore, in my case, where I'm in a regular sukkah, but the canopy of my bed that I'm sleeping in is Meshuppah, that's not an oil, so it's not separating between me and the true oil, the oil of the sukkah, and that's why I'm able to sleep in such a sukkah. Now the Gemara continues on the next Mishnah, continuing on the themes of the halachas of schach, specifically regarding something that if it's a makabel tumah, that then it's not going to be kosher for schach. As we said, the two criteria for schach is that it has to grow from the ground, and it cannot be something that's makabel tumah. So the Mishnah tells us, machzelas konim. If someone has a mat made out of reeds, which are very hard and it's not easy to sit on, so it depends. Gedoyla, if this mat is very large, so asol l'shchiva, if it's made for reclining purposes, and that is since the person designated this is going to be used for laying, so he made it into a vessel, which is what a bed would be. Hence, it's mekabelas tumah, it can now contract tumah because it's a kli. Ve'emes achima, therefore you can't use it v'schach, as we said, because one of the criteria is, it has to be something that's not mekabel tumah. However, l'sichuch, if he designated this large mat for schach purposes, for covering, for use as a roof, then you could use it as schach. And therefore, it's not mekabel tumah because it's not a kli, because it's not meant for reclining purposes, as we say many times in Shas, that they tell him, look, get up and stop laying on this. This is not a bed. This is meant for a roof. Now, the Gemara will ask on what seems to be contradictory indications of our Mishnah, which would be in the case of stomach, when you didn't say what you're making it for. It sounds like from the first part of the Mishnah that, yes, if you made it for reclining purposes, then it's going to be possible. But if you didn't say what it's for, then it'd be kosher. Versus in the second part of the statement, sounds like if you made it for schach, then it's kosher. But if you didn't, then it'd be possible. That seems to be contradictory indications of what would be in the case of when you didn't say what you're making it for, by the case of a large mat made out of reeds. Bliazoimer, he argues, he says, achas ketana v'achas gedoyla. No, whether it's a large mat of reeds or whether it's a small mat of reeds, if you made it for reclining purposes, then it can contract tumah because it's a kli, and hence you cannot use it for schach. L'sichach, if you made it for schach purposes, then you can use it as schach, and it's not mekabel tumah. And the Gemara will explain what exactly is he saying, and what is the machlekes between him and the Tanakama, where it sounds like both of them agree that if you said explicitly that it's for reclining purposes, or for schach purposes, that whether it shouldn't make a difference that if you made it for laying, then it's possible. If you made it for schach purposes, then it's going to be kosher, where it wouldn't seem to be a difference whether it's a large mat or it's a small mat, because you said explicitly what it's for, hence it shouldn't make a difference. Rather, the machlekes is regarding a small mat, if what we say, what we assume the default position is. Do we say that if that's generally used for reclining, since it's small, and that if the large one, do we say that generally that's used for schach, and we don't use that generally for reclining purposes? That's what the Gemara is going to discuss. But first the Gemara asks, as we already alluded to this in the Mishnah, Hagufa Kasha, there seems to be internal contradiction in the indications of the opinion of the Tanakama. Because Amrit, first you said, Asa l'shchiva, if you have this large mat made out of reeds and you made it for reclining purposes, you said, look, I want this to be used as my bed or my couch. So mekabel is tumah, it could contract tumah because it's a kli now. Ve'imasachimba, hence that you can't use it for schach because it's mekabel tumah. Now, the indication is time with asa l'shchiva. The reason is because you said you're designated for reclining purposes. Hastama, but if you didn't say what you're using it for, you just have a regular mat made out of reeds that's large, then l'sichich, then we would assume that it's kosher for schach, that that's what it's meant for. V'hadatani, but then later on, the Tanakama says l'sichich, if you have this large mat made out of reeds that you made it, you designated for schach, then you could use v'schach v'enim kabbalas tumah, and it does not contract tumah. Now, the inference is, time with asa l'sichich, The reason why it's kosher is because you made it, said, look, I want this to be used for the roof. Hastama l'shchiva, but if you didn't say what it's for, then we would assume that it's meant for laying. So what is it meant for? When you have a machzeles, gedoy lavkanim, is the default position for laying, or is it meant l'sichach? Another thing where it says holei kasha, that's not a difficulty. Because actually, there are two different statements of the Tanakhama are going on two different types of cases. Because kan begedoyla, the beginning of the Mishnah, as the Tanakhama explicitly says, he says machzeles kan begedoyla. He was talking about large mat made out of reeds. Now, there, it's only if you specify asa l'shchiva, you're making it for laying, then we're going to say it's going to be a kli, and therefore it's going to be kabbal tuma, and then you cannot use a b'schach. But stama, if you didn't say what it's for, then yes, it would be for a schach. But kan, the sefer was talking about, b'ktan, it was talking about a different case, and that is the sefer is not the same as the resha. The sefer was saying, however, if it's a small mat made out of reeds, then if you made it for a schach, then you'll go ahead and use it for you could use it for the sukkah. But stama, the default position by the small mat made out of reeds, will be for laying purposes. And that's exactly what it is. It's talking about two different cases. It starts with gedayla, but then it goes to katana. And then only in either one. If you did it for what's not the stama, then it will be for that halacha, whether it be for shchiva for gedayla or for sichuch for the katana. But if you didn't say what it's for, then each one is actually different. The gedayla is going to be stama for sichuch, and the katana is going to be stama for reclining purposes. Now, the Gemara asks, and some have this girsa, some don't, but it's essentially the same idea that Bishlam of the Rabbanu Leikasha, so okay, fine. According to the opinion of the Rabbanu of the Tanakhama, it's no question, just like we just answered that, you could say that the beginning is talking about Gidayla and the end is talking about Katan, and they have different default positions. But El Rabbanu Leikasha, according to Rabbanu Leikasha, it is difficult. That now, like I learned in the Mishnah, in our Mishnah, which is the Sefer, it says, Rabbi Leizer Eimer, Leizer argues, and he says, Achas Katan of Achas Gidayla, whether it's a small mat made out of reeds or a large one. Asol l'shchiva, if you made it for reclining purposes, mikabelas tuma, then it could contract tuma. Ve'em asachemba, and you can't use it as a schach. Now, the inference is that taima da asol l'shchiva, by both cases it's tuma, he says, ben gedoyla ben katana, that yes, if you made it for reclining purposes, hastama l'sichuch. However, if you didn't say what it's for, both of them would be the default position for schach. Now, im asefa, look at the end of his statement. Asol l'sichuch, if you made it for schach purposes, then you can use it for schach. Ve'enu kabels tuma, and it's not mekabel tuma. Now, taima, here the inference is that the reason is asol l'sichuch, because you made it, you designated for schach purposes. Hastam l'shchiva, but if you didn't say what it's for, then the default position would be reclining purposes. Now, here you can't give the answer of Rebbe Elazar the way we answer for the Tanakhama, because here he says explicitly, each one he says, achet gedol v'achet katana. So therefore, you can't say when he's saying one is that you're doing not like its default, which would be for the Reisha, and not like its default for the Sefer, different cases, because he says they're both by Achas Gedol and Achas Katana. But yet he's still saying that it's only if you made it l'shchiva or made it l'sichach. Now, what would the default be? What would the stama be? Each one is having a contradictory inference. What would be the halacha by the case of stama? So therefore, Ella Marava, rather Rabbi says, don't give the answer the Gemara gave before in the Tanakhama to say that the Reisha was told by a large mat made out of reeds and the Seifa was told by a small mat made out of reeds. And that they were both talking about that's only when you specify, but when you don't, they're going to have different default positions. That's not true, because then, as we just illustrated, contrabalas, that wouldn't be an answer. You can't say that there is a difference between Gedol and Katan. He says they're the same. Rather, what Rav is saying is, to understand when the Mishnah says, L'sichuch, whether it was talking about the second part of the statement of Tanakhama or whether it's by the statement of Rabbi Eliezer, it wasn't saying that you made it for sichach. It meant stama. Stama will be for sichach. Now, that's the understanding of when the Tanakhama said that by a large mat made out of reeds, that if you're making it for reclining purposes, then it's not going to be good. When he says that's l'sichuch, he meant to say that that's the case of stama, because stama of the large mat made out of reeds, according to Tanakhama, is for sichuch. But he wasn't talking about a small mat made out of reeds at all. And as Rav explains, by the large mat made out of reeds, nobody argues the stama l'sichuch. That its default position is that it's meant for schach, it's not meant for reclining. Now that's what the Tanakhama meant when he said that, look, if you're going to make it for shchiva, fine, you want it for that, now it's not good. But when he says that you're doing it l'sichuch, as all the terms of our Mishnah are l'sichuch, that's, in other words, its default position is if you leave it in the default, l'sichuch, then it's going to be okay. And that's because everyone holds the default of gedoyla, of a large mat made out of reeds, is not meant for reclining. Ki pligi biktana, the machlekes between Tanakam and Rabbeleza was by a small mat made out of reeds. Where Tanakama savar, stam ketana lishchiva, Tanakama held, and that's why he didn't discuss it, he didn't mention it, he only mentioned a machzel's kan of gedoyla. He held that a small mat made out of reeds, its default position is for reclining, and therefore that would not be considered stam lasichach, and it wouldn't be kosher. For Rabbeleza savar, he held that no, even stam ketana nam lasichach, even that's what he said, achas kitanim, achas gedayla, no matter what size it is, its always default position is going to be meant for sichach, and only if you go ahead and you want to make it not like its default for shchiva, then it's going to be possible. And as we continue on top of chafam and alf, v'hachikama, and this is what the Mishnah was saying as follows. Now what our new understanding of what the Mishnah is, said as follows. The Tanakama first said, machtzelis hakonim gedayla, if you have a large mat made out of reeds, so a sol l'shchiva, if you explicitly came and you said, look, I want this to be for reclining purposes. So then fine, mekabelis tumah. Then it's going to be a kli, so it's going to contract tumah. Ve'imasachim ba, and then you can't use it as schach. Now, and that is what the Tanakama himself said. Taimed sol l'shchiva, the reason is because you're making it for reclining purposes. However, if we could say that it was meant for a schach, now how would that be? For example, if he didn't say what he's doing it for, hastama, but if it was just plain, you didn't specify what it's for, then nasa kamisha salasich, then it's as if it was made for schach purposes, and masachingba, and therefore you could use as schach because it's not makabel tumah. Now, the explanation of this is that, again, that by large mat made out of reeds, nobody argues that its stama, its default position, is for schach, both according to Tanakama and according to Rabbi Eliezer, who the Tanakama was talking about only by the gedayla. And that is what he said, that stama is for sichach. The whole machlekes was by a small mat made out of reeds. Where the Tanakama didn't mention the case of a small mat made out of reeds. Because he held that this halacha that he was mentioning, that stama is lasichach, was only by a large mat made out of reeds. But a small one he actually held was made for shchiva, for reclining purposes. Now the Girsa takes out the words that are in parentheses. V'asr b'liyaz l'meiman, b'liyaz came to say that no, the small mat made out of reeds is the same as the large mat made out of reeds. That achas ketan of achas gedayla, whether it's small mat or large mat, that if you made it explicitly for reclining purposes, then fine, it's going to be mekabel tumah, you can't use it as schach. But if we could say that it's for schach, and what would that be? For example, if we made stama, it was made without indicating what it's for, then kesher l'sichach, then it's kasher to be used for schach, and you can use it as schach, and it's not mekabel tumah, because he holds that not only is the default position of the large one, like the Tanakama, is l'sichach, but even the small one is also going to be, now we understand what they're talking about, what they're arguing about, and that is because there's not contradictory indications, because the case of shchiva is when you're explicitly, the case of l'sichach, whenever it mentions that in our mission, was saying, but if it's a default position, which is as if it was made l'sichach, that the Tanakama holds, that's only machzel's ketanim gedayla, and that Rabbi Eliezer was saying that no, achas ketanim, achas gedayla, if you want to make it l'shchiva, fine, but if it's l'sichach, which means to say, but the default position, that will be l'sichach, that's not only like Tanakama of gedayla, but that's even like I'm saying, by even by ketanim, even by a small mat made out of reeds.